This morning, we're going to do just talk a little bit about our testimony. We testified here a couple weeks ago about having a good testimony. And Brother Black, he preached here two or three weeks ago, and it's just stirred my heart. I've really been praying. The Lord's been impressing on me. What do people see coming out of my life? What do people see when they see me? What are people seeing out of my life? And that is what our testimony is. Our testimony is not something where we stand up in the middle of a church service and say, I thank the Lord for saving me and filling me with the Holy Ghost, and we sit down. Our testimony is our lifestyle that exhibits the love and the salvation of our Savior. And every place we go, our testimony should be evident to the people that see us, the people that we interact with. And this morning, as we work down through this lesson, I want to challenge each and every one of us to consider, what's our testimony this morning? What do people see in my life? What do people see in your life? You may never have a chance to speak with them, but are you sharing Jesus with them? And that is what our Christian experience is all about, sharing Jesus. It's not about having the power to get over that next mountain or the ability through Christ to get through that next valley, but our Christian experience, the whole purpose that we are Christians, that we're believers, is to share Christ with a lost and a dying world. Does our testimony accomplish that this morning? Father, we worship you. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today, Lord, and we love you. Lord, we want to pause and tell you how much we love you. You're a mighty God. You're an awesome King. You're a great Savior. And Lord, this morning, as we work through this lesson, I pray that as we open our hearts to you, that you challenge our lives, Lord, challenge our spirits. Lord, stir the coals of revival in each and every one of us. Lord, help us to reach out for you and through you. Let our testimonies burn brightly in this world today, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen. What is a testimony? What is the purpose of a testimony? How do I get a good testimony? In today's lesson, we'll realize that a testimony is more than a few words spoken at a specific part of a church service, and is more than a person acknowledging God for an answer to prayer. A real Pentecostal Christian testimony is so much more. And when I was typing this lesson up, I put a real Christian testimony, and the Lord spurred my spirit right there. And I backed up and I put a real Pentecostal Christian testimony, church, is so much more. We're Pentecostal. We are still Holy Ghost filled. We are still on fire for God. But I'm not so sure that our testimony, the thing that people see Christ through us, really exhibits that in all of our lives anymore. The devil, his main goal in our life is to hide Jesus from anyone else. We're Christians, and he wants to destroy our lives. He does not want us to be Christians. But more than that, he does not want us to share Christ with someone else. So he puts barricades in our way. He puts blockades in our way. Things like making us nervous to say anything. Things like making us nervous to turn around and say, you know what, I don't want to hear that filthy joke. I don't want to hear that language. You know, the devil wants us to be pushed into a little corner called Shelby Street Pentecostal Lighthouse, and he wants us to sit down, shut up, and do nothing for God. But that's not a real Pentecostal testimony. I can remember as a child growing up, my mom made sure that I spent time with Pentecostal people. She made sure that I spent time with real believers, individuals that understood what God was all about and truly loved the Lord. And I can remember them sitting down and starting to pray over their meal right in the middle of the restaurant and the Holy Ghost settling in on them. And before they could ever pray over their meal, they were speaking in tongues, praying for individuals to be healed, praying for individuals to get saved in a restaurant, praying over their food. Today, we're lucky if we pray over our food at all. What is our testimony? What is our testimony showing this lost and dying world today? We need a real Pentecostal Christian testimony. It's something people can see in your life. It does not matter how great you can testify with your mouth, but how great you can testify through your life. A real testimony is a lifestyle that is evident to every person that observes it. We don't have to be able to stand up and give a great oratory speech. We don't have to be able to stand up and use fancy words to share the love of Christ. We just have to have a spirit that reaches out. We have to have a mentality of compassion. We have to have a sensibility of hating sin and staying away from it. And that will bleed off on other individuals. And they'll know, I don't need to cuss around Kevin because he doesn't like it. I don't have to stand there and tell them that. My life should exhibit that in front of them. That's when you know that your testimony is reaching out. Church, where is our testimony this morning? What kind of a testimony do we have? Our scripture for this morning, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. He had this testimony. That he pleased God. Oh, what a testimony. What a testimony. He didn't say that he preached mighty sermons. He didn't say that he got up and sang beautiful songs. He didn't say that he stood on the street corner and reached out to every person that walked by. It just simply said that he pleased God. That tells me that every step that he took, it was in obedience to God. Every breath that he breathed was under the unction of the Spirit of God. Every word that he uttered was anointed through God. And he made sure that that's how it happened, because he pleased God. How can we please God today, church? How can we please God? Wouldn't it be wonderful in today's world to find someone who just left? We went looking for Brother Burdine this morning, but he wasn't there. He wasn't there. Well, where's Brother Burdine? Well, I don't know where Brother, he just vanished. He's just gone. Where'd Brother Burdine go? Well, he was translated because he pleased God. Having this testimony. Having this testimony. God, help me to please you. Help me to please you. Another scripture, Joshua chapter 24, verse 29. And in Bible study, I've talked about Joshua. One of the greatest military minds in history, if not the greatest military mind of history. One of the best judges of the children of Israel, brought the children of Israel back to God, stood before the children of Israel and said, choose you this day. But as for me and my house, as for me and my country, we will serve the Lord. What a wonderful man. Led the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, took city after city after city, undefeated. One of the greatest men in biblical history. And it came to pass, verse 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of none, the servant of the Lord died. What a testimony. What a testimony. The servant of the Lord. He didn't write his own eulogy. I would that when I'm laying in the casket, someone could stand over my casket and honestly say, Kevin was a servant of the Lord. Kevin pleased God. Church, where is our testimony at today? If other people, if we went out into your workplace, if we went out into the marketplace this morning and we stopped someone and said, how does Kevin live his life? What would they tell about Kevin? What's the story that you would tell these individuals that you encounter every day? Would it be one of harsh comments? One of sarcastic words? Or is it a testimony of compassion? There's something about Kevin that just wants me to come see him. There's just something about Kevin that makes me want to come and talk to him. He's always got something positive to say. He always makes me feel so good when I walk away. That's not Kevin, church. That's the Holy Ghost coming through Kevin. That's the Holy Ghost living through your life. That's the Holy Ghost being exhibited in your life. The Bible says that the Word of God shall not return void. If you're living the Spirit of God in your life, it will go out and do the work through the Spirit of God that it's supposed to do. It will not return void. The Bible is full of examples of people who pleased God. There's Noah, Moses, Abraham, Joseph, Joshua, David, Ruth, Mary, the disciples, and the list. It goes on and on and on. Many times we make our service to God so difficult that we feel that we never please God. Having a good testimony is not wearing shirts that are so starched that you can't bend your elbows. Having a good testimony is not having a hairdo that's stacked to where you knock your head over every time you walk through a door. Having a good testimony is not walking around just plain Jane and not being able to feel good about yourself. That's not having a testimony. Having a testimony, church, is allowing the Spirit of God to work through your life. You're a conduit to allow the power of God to flow from heavenward out to the earth, out to the world. We put things in our life. We put obstacles and barriers and barricades in our life that make serving God more difficult than it needs to be. That is not establishing a good testimony. We need to keep it simple the way Christ designed it. Salvation is a simple task to accomplish. All it takes is an open heart and a repentant spirit. That's all salvation requires. Jesus has already done all the rest of the work. And if we'll approach Him with that repentant heart, He will save us. And that's what our testimony should be telling the world. Our testimony shouldn't be telling them that our hair needs to be up this high, or that our shirts need to be this long or this tight or this board-like. Our testimony should be telling them that Jesus loves you and He wants to save your eternal soul. That's what our testimony should be this morning. Now, I'm not telling you that there's not a right way to live. Part of your testimony is living the way God has told us to live. And sometimes that means putting down the things of this world. Sometimes that means putting aside things that you may like to do, but the Lord's convicted you against that, so you lay that aside. Other times it's doing something simply because it's in the Word of God, and the Lord has told us this is the way to live your life. This is the way to dress. This is the way to walk. This is the way to talk. That's living a good testimony. But we have to be careful not to put things in there that's not in the Word of God. We make it more difficult on ourselves. These individuals do not do anything great in themselves. They began to live a life. These individuals in the Bible, Noah, Ruth, Mary, David, Joseph, they began to live a life that loved God. A life that loved God. And I stopped and I thought about that. How much do I love God? How much do I love God? Some Christians, they spend their entire life trying to prove to everybody else that they love God. But they never really fall in love with God. They put their salvation on Sunday mornings. They take it off on Sunday nights. They never allow themselves to fall in love with God. But these individuals, they began to live a life that loved God. And that life created opportunities for God to use them in great ways. Great ways. Church, if our testimony doesn't exhibit the great power of God, our testimony's lacking. If our testimony doesn't exhibit the fact that our great God can save them from their sin, or our great God can heal them from their sicknesses, then what do we have to offer them? Kevin can't do it. Pastor Burdine can't do it. We need God in our lives to do it. We need God, and our testimonies is what's going to show them. Some of us have been testifying verbally to individuals for years and years and years and years with no great experience. But if we'd walk up and live the life in front of them, if we would walk up and show them, this is what my God is about. If we could show them that this is who God is, what great works could be done in their life. We need a testimony. A true Christian's testimony is nothing more than they love God. You see, when you love someone, you automatically do things for that person. When you love doing something, you do it with all of your might. I like my job. I really like my job. So when I get to work in the morning, I get in there and I work at getting my job done. I love to be able to turn out a good end product. But you know, my manager might see the fact that I work hard, that I try my best. But at the end of the day, what is that accomplished outside of a paycheck? Church, the world needs to see that we love God. And when they look at our love for God, they're going to see us turning around when the devil tempts us and walking away from that possible sin. Well, you know, I just seen Kevin try to do something, or the devil tempted him, and Kevin just turned around and walked away from it. Didn't even faze him. They'll take that home and they'll dwell on that. Why can't I do that? Why can't I just turn around and walk away from it? Why can't I just put it down that easy? And the next time they see you do that, they might stop and say, how can you do that? Then you can verbalize your testimony. It's through the power of God at work in our life. We need God in our life. And the more we love on God, and the more we fall in love with God, with the things of God, with the people of God, the more like God we'll become. We'll start acting like God. We'll start walking like God. We'll start talking like God. Why? Because God will start working through our lives. We need a true testimony. A true Christian's testimony is nothing more than they love God. Not that they've achieved anything in themselves or a need for fancy words or overwhelming oration, just simply that they love God. Consider, if you will, the love between a father and his children. This love causes the father to consider the effects of everything he does in life and how it will impact those children. Dads, you know what I'm talking about. When you sit down and you start making out decisions in your life, well, if I do this, it's going to impact this. It's going to change our ability to do that. It's going to impact my children negatively. I had a conversation this week with one of my associates. He came to me, he's got a job offer to work someplace in Illinois. Double his salary. No reason not to take it. But my family doesn't want to move with me. Hang on a second. He's a believer. He came to me because he wanted me to pray with him about it. I said, what's the most important thing in your life? My family. What'd you just tell me? My family don't want to go with me. What's your decision? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I just can't understand. If the most important thing in your life is not going to go with you, how can you not know what your decision is? We talked about it a little bit more. The impact of not having a father in the house Monday through Friday. How is that going to impact those children's lives? He's got two of them learning how to drive. Two of them that's still under 6 years old. And one of them that's just started dating. How is that going to impact those children's lives by not having you in that house Monday through Friday? And we sat there for about an hour and a half over lunch and we talked about his considering this job and never once mentioned the fact that I just don't want him to go because he's a good employee. But considering the impact, he was worried about the impact, but double the salary. How many of us would be stuck in that situation? And church, so it is, as we try to consider the impact of our testimony on this world, we need God. So it is with God when you are really in love with God. Not just that surface love that you put on Sunday mornings and take off on Sunday nights, but when you're truly in love with God. I keep falling in love with him over and over again and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. I'm talking about being in love with Jesus. Not just something you've done because this is what mom and dad taught me. Not just something you do because the wife says, it's time to get up and go to church. But because you are in love with God. Are we falling in love with Him over and over and over again? Every time He touches our life, we fall in love with Him all over again. Every time He speaks to our heart in that still, small voice, are we falling in love with Him all over again? Church, this is what our testimony is about. Because when we love our Savior, it's going to show in our life. People don't have to ask me if I'm married. I act like I'm married. I act like I'm married. People know Kevin is married. They don't have to walk up and say, is this your wife? When we're together, they can tell that we're married. Why? Because there's an affection that's flowing between the two of us. There's something there. They can tell that we're caught up with each other. And church, that's the way it should be in our experience with God. God is always with us. Every step we take, everywhere we go. And the world should be able to see that affection that we have for God. That world should be able to see the love that's flowing between us and God. And they should be able to see that it's something that they want. Something that they want. You know, our love with God, our relationship with God, it starts out in that father-son situation where God is teaching us and disciplining us and getting us on the right path, molding us and making us. But that love should quickly transform into a brotherly relationship where God and you are walking hand in hand because you want to, not because He has to follow you around and keep you on the right path. Your love for God should cause you to walk the right way because of your love for God. I do it because I love my Jesus. Not because the Bible has a commandment against it. Not because the church has a doctrine for it. I do it because I love God. Is this your testimony this morning? So it is with God, when you're really in love with God, not just surface love, but really in love with God, your actions, reactions, attitudes, desires, everything about you will consider the impact you're having on your testimony. Before you do it, you'll stop and say, what's that going to do to my relationship with God? What's that going to tell other people around me? Kind of like going to grab that hot handle on that pot on the stove. If I grab it, it's going to burn me. And our love for God should cause a reaction in our life very much like that. Stop! Don't get hurt. Stop! You're going to cross the line. Stop! Your testimony is going to be affected. Stop and do the right thing for God. This love will cause you to not tell that lie or to say that bad word or to do whatever the devil is tempting you to do. This love for God will cause you to immediately feel conviction when you do make a mistake and cause you to immediately go to God and ask for forgiveness. I hear people tell stories about how they lay their head on their pillow at night. And if you've done this, I'm not singling you out. And I say, God, if I've done anything today, we should be in a relationship with God that as soon as we did do anything, as soon as we done anything, our heart, our life was completely uprooted. Uprooted. Now, I know when you say, I lay my head on my pillow and say, God, if I've done anything, if I've done anything, that's a communication with God. And that's a desire to be perfectly in God's will. And I agree with that. I love that. But don't use it as a catch-all relationship with God. Don't use it as a means of your only communication with God, because that's not a testimony that a Christian needs to have. The testimony the Christian needs to have is, oh, I shouldn't have said that word that I just said. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. If a Christian can't say I'm sorry, they need to go back and pray a little more. They need to go back and pray a little more. Some individuals, men, we're bad about this. It's hard to say I'm sorry. Hard to admit that you were wrong. Hard to eat humble pie. But as a Christian, we're going to make mistakes. And those mistakes are sometimes going to involve other individuals. And if we don't make it right quickly, it's going to affect our testimony towards that individual. We have to be willing. What is a testimony? Merriam-Webster defines a testimony as evidence in support of a fact or statement. Proof. Proof. Vine's Expository Dictionary of the New Testament defines a testimony as a witness of the effects on the speaker's personal experience. A witness of the effects. Evidence. Proof. witness. All of these words can be used to incriminate or exonerate a person of guilt in a given situation. Your testimony will prove you guilty or not guilty of loving God. What kind of a testimony do we have today? Would you be found guilty? If we were in a court of law today and the trial was your love for God, would you be found guilty of loving God? Would there be enough evidence that the world could bring against us to prove us guilty of loving God? Or would it be a hard case to make to find you guilty? Would they be able to find you not guilty of loving God? Church, I want so much evidence out there that they don't even have to have a jury trial, that they don't even have to deliberate when the trial's over. They can all stand up and say, Kevin is guilty of loving God. Church, that's a testimony. And that's where we need to be living. Please notice that neither definition pointed to a clear verbal use to imply a testimony. We do not have to be verbal in our testimony for the world to see our love for God. We must understand that a testimony is clearly as much or more actions than it is words. One can testify to their love for God verbally, but actually demonstrate their lack of love for God through their daily living. Have we seen individuals like that? Oh, I love my Jesus. Oh, he's such a great God. But when they go out into the world, they live like the devil. That's not love for God. Because when you love something, you don't intentionally hurt it. And the Bible teaches us in Hebrews that when we go out and willingly sin, it's like crucifying Christ all over again. And if we love our Jesus, we would never put him through that again. Church, how is our testimony? You can say whatever you want, but your actions will tell the true story. You can get up and preach how great God is in your life and how much you love God and on how fire you are for God, that your actions through life is going to tell the true story. What is the purpose of a testimony? Many think a testimony is something Christian uses to display God's love for them. If this were the case, then every living person on the earth would have a testimony because God loves them all. It's in the sin that he hates. It's the sin. God loves every human being. It's the sin in their life that he hates. Thank God, because I was a horrible sinner, but Jesus loved me. Jesus loved me. And that love for me caused him to reach out to me. He despised the sin and he showed me the need to get that sin under the blood. But it's that love that reached out to me. It's the sin that he hates. This is the selfish carnal man coming out in us. The purpose of a testimony is to share how your love for God has affected your life and to encourage those who do not love God to find that love that you have. Your love for God has altered your life. And because of that, it encourages other people to want the same thing. While I'm not a God is love preacher, I am very sincere about our need to love God. To love God more than anything else. And you know, it's easy for us to be not so foo-foo, I call it. We don't want to show our emotions. We don't want to be emotional people. Man, you ain't supposed to cry. Well, you know that ain't the way I feel. I cry about everything. It's okay for us to be emotional about our experience with God. God is an emotional God. The Bible teaches us that God's a jealous God. Jealousy is an emotion. It's an emotion. The Bible teaches us that God's anger was stirred. Anger is an emotion. God is an emotional God. God loved the world so much that He sent His only Son. Love is an emotion. Church, we need to understand that God is an emotional God, and we need to love Him, and we need to serve Him emotionally. We need to be engaged with Him emotionally. We need not be afraid to wrap our arms around Him. We need not be afraid to pour our hearts out to Him. Sometimes through those tears. Sometimes through the laughter. Sometimes through the heartache. But those emotions is what opens it up. That communication between us and God. And when we approach God with our emotions, it dictates to Him, it shows Him how we really feel about a situation. If I walk in there sarcastic, half-cocked, He's going to realize that Kevin's not serious yet. But if I walk in there with a contrite spirit, if I walk in there with a broken heart, if I walk in there with a humble prayer, He's going to realize that. And He's going to say, Kevin's reaching out through that love that He has for me. Church, we need a good testimony. Our testimony should be one that draws people to God. It should make them curious about why you live like you do and why you walk the walk that you walk in perfect peace and contentment all the time. That is what God's love does for you. Unfortunately, in today's world, we find ourselves loving other things more than God, and our lives show it. We love our cars more than we love God. We love our jobs more than we love God. We love other things, other places, other people more than we love God. And because of that, our lives show it. If we ever reach our loved ones, it will be only after we find true love for God ourselves. They can see right through our act and know when we're lying. They know when you're not being right. Oh, look what God done in my life. You just ask them to consider your testimony. Is your testimony telling the story that you wanted to tell? They're watching. They're watching you. They're watching us. And they know. They know. And when we stand up with a life that's not completely sold out to God, and we verbally say, I'm sold out to God, they know. They know. Church, we need a testimony. The purpose of your testimony is to worship God for His loving kindness and to preach this great love to the lost. If you are truly in love with God, you will never have to preach of a verbal word, but your actions will preach a volume for God. I love, and you, if you've heard me talk much, you've heard me talk about Smith Wigglesworth. I love to read about Smith Wigglesworth, but there's more books written as biographies about his life by other people than autobiographies about his life by himself. There are more people that could see the life that Smith Wigglesworth wrote and realize that his life was so given to God that it was worthy of writing it down and putting it to pen. Is there anybody ready to write a book about your life? Is there anybody ready to proclaim how great you served your God? Consider your testimony. How do I get a good testimony? As mentioned earlier, it is imperative that we fall unconditionally in love with God. Nothing else will give us a testimony that will prove to the world and to God that we are on His side. Until you fall truly in love with God, you are merely a hired servant for God. You see, a hireling will go through the actions of being a Christian, but never really care if God's kingdom is advanced or if souls are saved. A hireling doesn't really care about the condition of the sheep. They just care about the paycheck at the end of the day. Are we hirelings or are we true servants for the master? Where are you at? Once we truly fall in love with God, you find yourself caring about every little thing in God's kingdom. All of a sudden, that clogged toilet in the church has to be fixed right now. All of a sudden, it bothers you when you see a burned out light bulb in the church house. All of a sudden, it bothers you when you see someone praying in the altar and the Kleenex box is empty. I've got to go get some Kleenexes. Oh, now, Brother Kevin, you're being silly now. I'm trying to show you that the very little details, when you're truly in love, when you're truly in love, you want to make sure that the details are perfect for the person you love. Perfect. Perfect. When you're truly in love with God, you're not going to be content until it's perfect with God. We need to fall in love with God. You'll also find yourself loving and living life God's way instead of your way, as Jesus taught us in Mark. Remember, a testimony is proof or evidence that you are guilty or not guilty of doing something. If we took a poll of people who knew you today, what evidence could they produce to convict you of loving God? It is not good enough to keep your life a secret from everyone and stand up in church and give a life is so wonderful testimony. Your life needs to be something that people can read. I almost said an open book, but your life doesn't need to be an open book. You don't need to stand up and tell everybody about your finances, your good times, your bad times, and everything else. But your life needs to be a testimony for God. Your life needs to, through the actions that you live, share the love of God with this lost and dying world. For one thing, everyone can see right through that secrecy. For a second thing, you're trying to lie to God, your friends, and yourself. Loving God does not immunize you from troubles or trials. You're still going to have difficulties. But that love for God is only going to cause you to lean closer to Him. When my little buddy Caleb, when he has a boo-boo, boy, the first thing he does is what? He comes running to Daddy. When things aren't going right, he's down there playing with his trucks, and he can't get that truck to do what it's supposed to do. He doesn't sit down and just cry and pout. He comes and gets Daddy. Daddy, can you help me do this? Church, we need to be little Calebs in this world today. We need to be at the drop of a pen, ready to run to Abba Father and say, God, I can't do it on my own. I can't do it by myself. God, I've got a boo-boo. I need you to help me make it better. God, I need you in my life. And the more we do that, the more in love with God we'll fall. Why? Because we'll realize real quickly that God's there. He's always there and He's ready. Consider your testimony today. Is it a testimony based on true love for God? Or is it based on lies? I want to challenge you to search your heart today and find God the way God found you. He went seeking for you. He went seeking for His lost love. And at the end of His seeking, He found you. Stop trying to make everyone think you're perfect and start living in the freedom that true love for God will give you. Have you really fallen in love with God? Have you really fallen in love with God? I keep falling in love with Him over and over again. Over and over again. Over and over again. One of the greatest experiences is when I can get along with my Jesus. And I was telling this in Bible study the other night. And I imagine myself in that garden, like the old song says. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me that I am His own. I keep falling in love with Him over and over again. Church, we need a testimony. We need a testimony that shows this world that we love our God.